Thank you, Edinburgh. Good evening. Good to be here at the Comedy Roadshow. Thought maybe start off with a joke. So, I seen a sign that said, "Have you seen this man?" So I phoned up and I said, "No." It's something to do, isn't it? I might be a few things, but I'm not a grass. So it's good to be in Edinburgh. I'm actually from Glasgow myself. Thank you. We very much get a reputation. The city of Glasgow was recently announced as Europe's murder capital, but also voted the UK's friendliest city. In the same week. Well, we got our act together pronto. You might get the shite kicked out of you, but you'll get directions to the hospital. Nice people. A bit mental, but a friendly mental. Ah. I also remember my first ever altercation with a friendly madman. It was about midnight. I was standing at a bus stop waiting on a bus. That's the way I play the game, right? That's how I roll. At the bus stop, waiting on a bus, two people sat beside me. They were doing something similar, and everybody was having a good time. Sounds a bit far-fetched, but it's based on a true story. So everyone's there getting their bus stop on when a friendly madman showed up. A guy, he was across the road, and he shouted, "Hoi, you! Hoi, you! Aye, you!" Now, when you're at a bus stop at midnight and somebody instigates a conversation with, "Hoi, you! Hoi, you! Aye, you!" you kind of shite yourself. And you try and keep your head down, right? And then the guy shouts, "Hoi, fat boy! Fatty." And while I'm standing there, I'm looking at the two people. I'm trying to figure out their BMI. And because one of us is about to become a statistic, right? But beside me were just these two big skinny pensioner types. Kill this one, must be for me. And the guy said, "Fat boy, give me a quid or you're getting stabbed." I thought, a quid? That was quite reasonable. Panic over. I mean, I've never been stabbed, right, but I can imagine it'd be somewhat inconvenient. Maybe even put a dampener on your evening, right? You'd be covered in blood, you'd need to go to a hospital to get stitches, you'd be physically and emotionally traumatised. And here, we've got a gentleman offering me the chance to bypass such a horrendous ordeal in this current financial climate for a mere pound. Now I'm a sucker for a bargain, so in Edinburgh, you're talking at least a fiver, aren't you? Is everybody having a good credit crunch? Everybody enjoying it? I don't really know what happened. I just remember everything just became really expensive, right? And you never asked any questions. You just get charged astronomical prices just to be told, "Oh yeah, that's the credit crunch." Right, but the final straw for me, I was in a shop, right? and I was buying a packet of Bikers. A packet of Space Raiders. And a packet of Johnny's onion rings. Does anybody know the collective term for these kind of crisps? Exactly. Now imagine my shock when the guy asked me for 45 pence. Now, when 10p crisps are costing 15p, that's when I began to take an interest in economics. That's when I started watching Bloomberg and, you know, reading the Financial Times. You know, the FTSE's up on the Dow Jones, who knows what that means, but it's only a matter of time before we're paying a quid for a chomp. See, I was never like the rich. I don't come from like a wealthy background, but I don't come from a poor background. I was always the kind of in-between guy. Like, remember the first day back at school after the summer holidays? That was the day you found out what class you were in. I don't mean educationally. I mean socially. Right, no, I would never look like the rich kids that would... I was never one of them that would come strolling in and have a suntan in a new school bag. But I was never one of the ones that would come in with like a black eye and a new second name. Remember him? You'd need to ask your teacher. You'd be going, "Sir, how come Jamie Cosgrove's now called Jamie De La Cruz?" Oh, it's because his mum's a dirty. That's all for me. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. My name is Stuart Francis, and don't worry, I haven't heard of you either. I'm getting used to it. In a world full of patronizing insincerity, it is so nice to be back in my beautiful hometown. Edinburgh. So many people are jumping on the Barack Obama bandwagon, which, as an African American, really offends me. No, you're looking at a very proud Canadian who's very proud of the education system in Canada, I think. I think it's the goodest of all 17 countries. No, I was horrible in school. I failed math so many times I can't even count. I was good at history. No. No, I wasn't. So long ago. I preferred French over chemistry because the chemistry teacher and I just didn't have any, rapport. Sadly, as a Canadian, I don't speak French. Such is life. When I was a kid, my fairy godmother asked me if I wanted a long penis or a long memory. I forget my response. Like most Canadians, I like to go clubbing, but if there's no seals around. I like to go dancing. Last night I went to a dance club that was full of white kids talking black. Got so annoying, I finally left. Besides, daylight come and me want to go home. I quit my job at the helium gas factory. I refuse to be spoken to in that tone. That's the thing, my friends. I'm a one-liner comedian. I'm not a storyteller. And interesting how that all started. We all have bittersweet memories of our childhood. I recall one summer when the neighborhood parents were buying their children skateboards. It was the rage at the time. Except for my parents. They told me that we were too poor and that they couldn't afford to buy me a skateboard. But I remember one night I tippy-toed out of my bedroom. I got a piece of wood and a hammer, and I beat them to death. My foster parents bought me 5 skateboards. My sexual fantasy is to make love to Sigmund Freud's father. Mother! Nobody wants to be alone. A recently divorced friend of mine is hopeful of once again finding romance. Beer-bellied, completely bald. I don't like her chances. You gotta be careful. I was involved in a one-night stand that went horribly wrong. We've been married 3 years now. They say opposites attract, but try explaining that to my short, ugly wife. No, my wife is beautiful. My wife has an ass like J-Lo. No, Jell-O. And I'm not ashamed of my wife. If you don't believe me, go to the car and ask her. Ask her loud, she's in the boot. Is my wife dissatisfied with my body? A tiny part of me says yes. No, I'm not married. If I was married, would I be able to do this? Exactly. No, I've got a girlfriend. I've been going out with my girlfriend for... sex.
You like the sex? No?
I love to go to bookstores and say to the clerk, "Hello, I'm looking for a book titled How to Deal with Rejection Without Killing." Do you have it? Irony, that's one thing I truly do respect about you people here in Scotland. You get irony, and it's everywhere. Sharon Osbourne judges talent. Yeah, irony. There's a paper in Scotland called The Sun. Oh dear, oh dear me. A lot of people accuse me of taking the audience for granted, and I like to address that before I get to the standing ovation. I knew you'd like that, Jeff. I hope you guys are doing okay. Money-wise, I'm set for life. Provide I die next Tuesday. I'm trying to become at least the most famous person in my neighborhood. There's a guy in my neighborhood. He's in the Guinness Book of Records. He's had 43 concussions. He lives very close. In fact, just a stone's throw away, but the point... Some of you recognize that, whereas most of you are looking at me thinking, is this shit funny in Canada? No, no, it's not. That's why I'm here. I love you, Edinburgh. Cheerio the news.
Hi. Yep, my name's Mark. Easy enough. Well, quite easy. It does cause trouble. My name's just a noise, basically. Mark. It's amazing how hard it can be. If you hear someone in the street go, ah, sounds like Mark. You know, someone in the street goes, oh, I'm going to go to the park, do some drugs. Again, you hear, Mark, fancy some drugs? You know, it's so easy. It's amazing, actually, being on the television, what you can and can't say. You have to be very careful with language. Anything, you know, the F word, no, even the one that's ruder than that, the C, oh, you can't go near that. It's funny, really. It's funny how certain words get people angry. The so-called C word, oh, makes people shiver. Really, of course, it's just a word. It's no different from saying frisbee, really. Of course, the context makes a difference. I had a bit of a mix-up in a park once. But it's, I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? I've got a wife. That's not one of the jokes, actually. That's a comment. That's an actual autobiography. I have. She's a proper woman. I got her fair and square and everything. It's great. The only thing is when you're sort of a person who you feel a bit lucky. I feel a bit lucky to have got a wife. And Oh, this is going to sound really sentimental, but I don't want her to die or anything. I really am, I know, romantic fool, but I just sort of feel like I sort of married above myself a bit. I kind of, it was a bit of a fluke. I don't think I could re-recruit, if you see what I mean. I really feel like this is kind of it. And maybe some of you will know what it's like when you have someone you love so much that you live in paranoia that they might be dead. It's really tiring, to be honest, you know. If I send her a text and she doesn't reply, after about 15 minutes, I think, oh, she's probably died. And it does, you know, having to wake them up in the night to check they're still breathing. Or you don't always get the thanks you deserve, either. Do I look dead? No, angry, if anything. She even, alive, though. She flew to Spain recently with mates, and I wasn't there. So I was there on the website, refreshing the page. You know, you can track the flight. And it says, in the air, landed. But I couldn't relax till it said landed. Even though I don't know how accurate a guide it is, really. Imagine if there is a problem, they don't just change it to crashed. So, it doesn't just go from in the air to turned into a fireball and a frowny face. But or one of those little icons with a tear coming out of it. But there you are. It's probably not worth being that paranoid. Quite often in life, you find yourself thinking, what would be the worst possible thing I could do now? You probably know what it's like to be strongly tempted to do something. For example, we've all probably had the situation where you're walking over a bridge, you've got your keys in your hand. For no reason, you start thinking, imagine if I threw them. I won't, but I could. I could throw them. And the more you think it, the more overpowering the temptation. I could actually throw them. I'm going to throw them. I'm going to throw them. Yep, in they go. Oh, I've lost a few sets of keys that way. The worst thing I've ever done, just because the temptation was too strong, was I once kicked a man. And there was really no reason for it at all. No justification. I couldn't get past him. He was wheeling this suitcase really slowly. I couldn't quite find a way to dodge past him. And it just came into my head, imagine if I kicked him. And again, you start thinking, imagine if I kicked him. Well, I mustn't kick him, but I could kick him. I could kick him. Maybe I will. Yep. And I walked along for the final few yards thinking, I believe I'm going to kick this man now. And in the end, I just kicked the bugger quite hard in the back of the leg. And as I was doing it, I remember thinking, what else could I have done, really? The guy swung round. He looked pretty annoyed, really. All I could think of to say was, I've kicked you! Which, not an excuse, really, more just a summary of the events. That's another thing you do when you're a comedian. You quite often say things out loud, because that's my whole job, really, just to say what I'm thinking. But it's not a very good habit. In Edinburgh, in fact, I had one of my most embarrassing moments, just where there's a cash machine on the bridge there. And I was behind this guy, and he was checking his bank balance. And of course, you're not meant to look, but I did, of course. And it was, you know, £30,000. Your balance is 30, just in his bank account. And I was so amazed, I blurted out, you've got loads there. The guy's from a bit of a hard one to explain. Oh, dear me. Well, it's gone sort of quite well, really. It's gone fairly well, I think. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't fancy doing this at all. A lot of people think it's brave. Even people are always saying that, oh, you're so brave. And in fact, I'm not. I'm the least tough member of my family. My dad's a big, tough guy. My granddad killed a bear once with just his hands. Literally amazing. It was a bit of a fluke, to be fair. The bear was looking the other way and he pushed it over a cliff. So it's sort of, it was more of a tactical victory, really. And compared with that, I've got no history of heroics at all. In fact, I've done nothing but... a nurse even said to me, oh, what you do is so brave, which is an amazing thing to say. Nurses are much more brave. Imagine being a nurse, having the courage to give hope to sick people. I'd be terrible. If someone said to me, look, just tell me, am I going to die? Am I dying? I'd find it very hard not to say, you do look pasty, yeah. Put it this way, I wouldn't begin watching 24 now. And you can't do that if you're a nurse. Don't buy a box set. It's amazing. I even had a guy say to me, wow, you're the bravest man I've ever met. Right? It was incredible. And this guy himself was a bungee jumper, it turned out. And he had bungee jumped for charity, naked, off South Pier in Blackpool. I said, what? Which one of us is brave? I would never in a million years go to Blackpool. So, yeah, it's all about perspective. Anyway, that's enough from me. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Thanks very much. My name's Mark Watson.
Are you well?
Yeah.
It's good to be back. This is the best place in the world to do comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, because you love a laugh, don't you?
Yeah.
You love a laugh. It's true. Last year I was staying, what's that street? St. Mary's Street, is that the one off the Royal Mile there? And I had a first floor flat. So every day I was at the same height as the open top. Misery tour. I was at exactly, when I used to sit at my window, I was at exactly the same height as the poor, miserable, sodden Japanese tourists. Huddled in the wind and driving rain in their emergency ponchos. Their faces set like stone against the Scottish elements, like little shrink-wrapped gargoyles hanging off the side. They'd open their mouths and water would spew down the side of the bus. And I was sat there, I would just get the odd word of the commentary would waft in on the wind. Have you heard the commentary? It's hilariously miserable. The odd ancient grudge would float in on the wind, you know, like 10,000 Scots died, meow. Centuries of oppression, meow. I went on one a few days later, I came off like William Bloody Wallace, so I was like, come on, we can do this. I was gonna go shopping in the afternoon, I ended up marching on Cumbria instead. it's nice to be back on. I'm staying here tonight, that's good. Yes, I'm staying. Well, it means I don't have to drive home, because this job is terrible for that. You know, you usually have to drive home late at night. I hate nighttime driving, do you? What are those things they put on when you drive in late at night? Not lights, no. On the radio, man. Those things when you're driving along, you know, they're not adverts. They're like, what do you call them? They're like infomercials. Or do you know the things I mean when you're driving along and you're tired and it's late? And then the radio says, you're tired, it's late. The monotony of driving is sending you to sleep. I'm thinking, you're not really helping here, pal. You know, those things, I hate those. I was driving back to Cardiff once. And have you heard this one? I was about 1:30 in the morning. I was on the M4 there, and this one came on. Have you heard this? It said, fall asleep at the wheel, and you could travel further than you think. You could travel further than you think. In fact, in just 6 seconds, it said a car on the motorway could travel up to 1/8 of a mile. It was 1:30 in the morning when I heard that. I had 110 miles still to go. Yeah, so I did a few calculations. I set my alarm for 3, you see. I must have slept through it. I woke up driving through Ireland the next morning. I'd been on the car ferry and all sorts. I flew to, you go all over the world with this job. I flew to, Australia. Are you Australian?
Yeah.
We're up there. Where are you from?
I'm from Brisbane.
From Brisbane. I went to, Melbourne. Do you know Melbourne?
Yeah.
Can you explain that flight to me?
What, the distance?
Well, I left my house at 12:30 on a Monday. I got to your place Wednesday, Tita. What the hell happened to Tuesday? I had stuff to do. And when I left Melbourne, my flight left at 6:30 on a Monday morning. It took exactly 24 hours, but I still got back Monday night. What the hell happened to Tuesday again? What is it with you people on Tuesdays? I flew to Ireland. Any Irish in? I flew to Dublin a few years ago, and I've told this story all over the world, you know, and everywhere I've gone, I've blamed a different airline for this story. But the true story happened on a flight to Dublin. And I can't tell you the name of the airline I flew with for legal reasons. We'll call them Brianair, right? And listen, I was excited. I was going abroad. I'm Welsh. I bought shorts, T-shirts, sunglasses. They don't even sell them in Wales. I had to go to Bristol to buy them. I was excited, and then I bought myself a brand new suitcase as well, one of the posh ones with the wheels, and then I flew to Dublin. I will show you what I found when I arrived in Dublin Airport just a few hours later. That. It's not funny. Anyway, I get the last laugh. It still works. You can see where some hilarious baggage handlers put a heavy label on that. Look. Bend your knees is the advice to anybody tackling that baby. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. The flight was about $9.99. I wasn't expecting miracles. if I'm completely honest with you, the first three times this went round the baggage carousel, I laughed. Everybody laughed the first three times. It was hilarious. The staff, the passengers, everybody was having a great time, and then one by one they went home. It was just me and Liz. I thought I could sort it out. I took this to the desk. I didn't know what I was up against. The girl on the desk looks at me, no hint of irony. She says, what seems to be the problem? I said, mainly it's about my luggage. She said, is that not it? I said, this is some of it. Don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled to get this back. The thing is, I'm here for a month. I'm pretty sure I packed more than this. She started asking me those questions. You know those questions they ask you in airports? I've heard these questions all over the world. They're normally perfectly sensible questions. There was no need for it. She said, could anybody have interfered with it? She said, we probably shouldn't rule that out. She said, have you left it unattended at any point? I said, I suppose I must have. I'm not the most observant person in the world, but if this had happened while I was wheeling it through the airport, I think I'd have noticed. Surely it would have gone very light, very quickly. I said, did you pack it yourself? I thought, why? What are you suggesting? I think my mother packed for me and thought this is all I'd need. She said, we'll do a report. Don't you worry, Mr. Gilbert, we'll soon have your luggage back. I thought, good, this is progress. Do your bloody report. And it was all going quite well until about question three. She took my name, she took my address, and then she said, does your luggage have any distinguishing features, Mr. Gilbert? It's got a long black handle, if that's any use. She wrote that down. Everyone's a comedian in Ireland, aren't they? Everyone's, especially the taxi drivers, they're the worst. Because I walked from the airport to the taxi rank. And bear in mind that I didn't have a 5-minute story to tell, I just had 22 kilograms of missing shit. I wasn't looking too pleased, you know, but the guy in the first taxi, he saw me coming along with this, his eyes lit up. You could see what he was gonna, it was so predictable, you could see what he could, oh, he walks down to the back. So, pops open the boot, oh. Typical Irish wit, he says, do you want a hand with that? No, thank you. I think I can manage. I said, if you really want to help, you can take the trolley back. Ladies and gentlemen, lovely to be back in Edinburgh. I'll hopefully see you all at the festival. You've been absolutely lovely. And Rod Gilbert, thank you very, 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 very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you. Thank you.